Welcome back to the Back Porch Education Podcast. Today, my friend Jason and I are going to ask, what should a homeschool schedule look like? How often should you look at the clock? Get your education. Back Porch Education. Well, Jason, we're back, and I'm kind of anxious today to push back. The folks online have acted like the reason you always bring the poem is because you're capable of it and I'm incapable of it. And so on those folks, myself and Dr. Samuel Taylor Coleridge have showed up today with a poem entitled Time, Real and Imaginary.
How very Coleridgean of him.
Yes, well, if you think the title is Coleridgean, wait till you hear the actual poem. There's even parentheses that I may or may not choose to pronounce. Time, real and imaginary. On the wide level of a mountain's head, I knew not where, but 'twas some fairy place, their pinions ostrich-like for sails outspread, two lovely children run an endless race, a sister and a brother. This far outstripped the other, yet ever runs she with reverted face and looks and listens for the boy behind. For he, alas, is blind. O'er rough and smooth with even step he passed, and knows not whether he be first or last.
Mm.
It's an odd couple.
Indeed.
I've seen siblings, right, looking out for each other. But this is quite poignant to be running in the mountains of all places.
Right.
With a blind brother.
Right. Well, my first thought was that it was you said whatever, a mountain and a fairy place, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's Coleridge. We're obviously going to Mount Parnassus, where the muses live, right?
Yeah.
And then their pinions and ostrich, and I'm like, okay, they're kind of bird-like muses. He's taken some liberties, but it's fine. But then he crashed it entirely with the sister and brother, the children, right? Like, so then I was scrambling.
Yeah. Well, wow. I love the graduality of it, mm-hmm. that you come further into his vision the further you go along with it.
Right.
And it really jerks you at the end there when you realize, oh, well, she's looking out for a blind brother who can't tell whether he's in first or last.
Right. Exactly.
And if she opens her mouth and tells him, come on, he'll know, oh crap, I'm losing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as long as she's silent, I might be winning this race.
Right. Know? Right. It is a sort of, it's a graceful thing, right? That it's a big hearted thing that big sister is doing.
Well, and I bring the poem because I think it reveals an issue for us when we take on this question of what should a homeschool schedule look like.
Mm-hmm.
I know those who would declare there ought not to be any schedule.
Sure. Unschooling, right?
Right. And I feel with them the human impulse for freedom and and the ability to be lazy without being called into account. But anytime one is seeking to get somewhere, there should be some acknowledgement that a certain amount, and so that's a lot of what we need to talk about is how you measure it, but one must be busy about the task before you, and the keeping of time is one way in which you're assured that progress is being made. 15 minutes of schooling a day is probably going to either really slow down getting an adult ready, or fail to right. do so. And so, but on the other side of that, of course, is the folks that I know homeschooling individuals who have bells, who have a published schedule, who have all kinds of charts. And, you know, I'm in a school right now that has chosen to, I think this is how they intend to get me retired off.
Okay.
This year's schedule does not have any time in the day where a period ends or begins on a multiple of five.
So 57s and 58s yes. and 02s yes. and
not 5 minutes between class, 4 minutes between class, et cetera. And so, you know, I think it's 23 minutes for lunch, you know,
right.
So yeah. I am very attentive to watches, clocks, alarms, bells, et cetera, in my institutional setting.
Mm-hmm.
And I know folks who feel that it brings a sense of, I don't want to, authenticity to the school experience if the child knows, okay, so now is math time, and in whatever minutes there'll be a break, and then followed by history, you know, mm-hmm. or whatever. Some choosing to do the same thing every day, you know, just like in schools, right? We have sort of the block schedule where your classes may not be the same every day or last longer or shorter. And then more traditional where the same seven or eight classes every day in a schedule, et cetera. So I'm curious. I've started us off with a poem. You yeah. start us off with your best first statement about answering this question. What should a homeschool schedule look like?
Okay. When I hear that homeschool, there are home education, whatever. There are homeschool parents, there are home education parents, educators. There we go. When I hear that there are home educators who have a published schedule, that makes me not that uncomfortable, but also, I mean, I can see a case for it, and ultimately it's not up to me. So if it works for you, then you can just tell me to pound sand. Welcome to home education, right? Like that's on you. Like, that's great. But especially the bell, I think that if you are preserving the bell, the schedule, the rigidity of school in your home, I do think that you are preserving some part of an institutional mode of education. But frankly, I think it's the worst parts of that education that you are preserving. Let me give an analogy or an illustration of kinds. When my students, recently I had them all memorize a poem and recite it. And I didn't give them that much time. I gave them about 9 days to memorize 40 lines. Okay. I don't think that that's altogether burdensome, but I also know that it's going to press them, right? That it's not an easy assignment. One of the reasons that I gave that assignment was because it's important to me that my students learn how to memorize things. If what you're doing is chunking up the poem into sort of seemingly random parts and then memorizing each part and then trying to put them together, what you're going to have at the end is not going to be a smooth recitation. Rather, it's going to be mechanical and yeah. disjointed.
I know where you're going with this.
Okay. Let me see if I can land the plane. Coming back to education, a parent who sticks to a schedule, that is a time of day, a certain amount of time per day in their education is, I think, grasping at the wrong thing. Rather, it should be a sort of, you should be holding to the ideas and breaking in a natural place for each day. Did that land the way I wanted it to?
Yeah. Okay. Well, and I agree. So to me, the schedule or plan, one of the beauties of home education is the flexibility thereof, right? If mm-hmm. I, as a teacher in my school, say this is going well, let's just keep going, I've now ticked off a bunch of other teachers who are depending on me to end my class so they can begin theirs. Mm-hmm. And so there's a community agreement about the schedule. It's there for efficiency. It's there because we're all trying to share students. Mm-hmm. And certainly there's an acknowledgement that the average student can attend into one thing for X number of minutes before they need a little break and that sort of thing. And some of that's legitimate even in a homeschool setting. You know, if mom is, or dad is attempting a 5-hour lesson on physics, you don't understand human nature. It's not mm-hmm. that you don't understand your kid. Nobody's going to stick with you for five hours. Right. But I can see when you maybe have a number of children in your home.
Yeah.
Being a little bit more on the schedule, just so, again, for the commonality of it. We're mm-hmm. all going to do X. You know, assuming they're all your children, then they're of different ages. And so the 5-year-old, the 8-year-old, and the 12-year-old are not all studying or have the ability to study at the same pace or in the same way. And so mom has got whichever parent, I keep defaulting to mom because that's what it's been in my family until recently when I've taken over the duties. But the parent leading the thing might need that schedule for themselves. Mm-hmm, to make mm-hmm. sure that that everything's happening.
Right.
It's more of a self-management thing. And I'm totally there with that. If that's what your personality needs, please teach your children in a way that's successful for you, not one that falls apart. Mm-hmm. But then, so to me, a lot of it's motive, right? Are you holding to a schedule to try and make yourself look like you're a legitimate school? And schools have bell schedules, so we should have bell schedules. Mm-hmm. In which case, I agree with you completely. You're grasping at the wrong things, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I would say that if you did maintain the amount of time given to history, literature, foreign language, etc., you know, if you're starting homeschool at 8 o'clock in the morning and running that bad boy until 3 p.m. you probably are far exceeding the performance of students that are doing that in a school because there's so much inefficiency built into moving a number of people around a building and keeping any number of students all focused and attentive mm-hmm. and properly behaved and whatnot.
That your child will be ready for community college courses when they are 13.
Yes, I was going to say 12.
Exactly. I'm not joking, right? Like, I'm serious. Yeah.
Well, and probably also be desirous of getting to community college. I got to get out of this place.
Right. I need a break.
Yes, I need to just screw around in class a little bit. My mom's got my nose to the grindstone. But so some of that in answering what should the homeschool schedule look like, I think we've answered really the first question. It should fit who the parent and the child are.
Right.
Some young students in particular need structure. They need mm-hmm. at least a routine mm-hmm. that on X, Y, and Z we do these things, and on A, B, and C we do these things, and so on. And again, the parent's perfectly knowledgeable of what their child needs. And as an adult probably perfectly knowledgeable of what they need to make this work. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is just simply an issue of practicality.
Right.
If a schedule helps, by all means use it, but don't feel like it's a necessity, and don't feel like it's a law.
Right.
You know, one of the beauties of home education is the flexibility that on this wonderful day today, we're headed outside. We're going to do something a little different today.
Right.
You know, we're going to the zoo or whatever.
Yeah.
Now that gets mocked, unfortunately, by the more institutional form of educator, because he doesn't have that freedom. And if he did have that freedom and they regularly, you know, one in every 3 days was a field trip or something, I don't even think homeschooling folks are going to manage that. But
sure.
If whenever he wanted to, he could take off, he would start failing at his scope and sequence, right? He would not, because of the efficiencies and the realities of a multi-student classroom.
Right.
So, well,
but think about it this way. I mean, I think that what a school does in terms of curriculum, right? In terms of curriculum, I think what a school does in 5 days, a home can do in four, right? And we could sort of look at, we could get more in detail about that, but I don't really think we need to, at least not for my example here. Granted that that's the case, right? Right. If you can work with your child or children through a week's worth of material in 4 days, when the institutional sort of school takes five, well, then that does leave you 1 day a week, or
right.
two, if you're going to do 6 days a week of education, that you can do something with it. The other thing about field trips being mocked by institutions is that field trips for a class of 25 or 30 or 100 teenagers or 8-year-olds is a huge logistical nightmare.
Yeah, right? Nightmare is the term.
Right. I mean, think
nightmare
about how many forms need to be filled out. Think about how many kids need to find a seat, how many insurance policies we need to have on people and background checks for you to drive the bus and how are you getting back. It's a huge deal.
And when it's happening,
yeah.
If you've ever been along on one of those things, the actual act of it, keeping them all together.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know,
counting heads, right? Counting bright neon shirts.
Keep moving. No, slow down. You know, it's just exhausting, right? You talk to anybody that's ever done that, and it's hard on the adults. It's hard on the kids.
And it's hard on the place that you're visiting.
Yeah.
Right?
Whereas mom walking through a museum with a couple of kids
exactly.
is just everyday life.
Exactly. They're happy to take your $12 at the door or whatever it is. And, you know, the museum is your oyster. Like, you get to do whatever you please.
Right. And the only horror you have is if you run into one of those school groups.
You know, we'll come back tomorrow, kids. Let's go.
So I think that there's – if you understand – the benefits, right? Then schedule starts to make sense when it needs to make sense and fade when it has opportunity to do that. Some of the people I respect the most in homeschooling are those who have enjoyed the fact that if they and the child wish, they can just blow right on through lunch if they want to, because this is just going so well, and we're having this fascinating conversation, and we want to keep reading the story and see how it comes out or whatnot. And there isn't probably the most stress-oriented moment of my teaching career is when I'm in the middle of one of those moments and the bell goes off.
Yes, exactly.
Oh.
Exactly.
Because you'll never pick it back up tomorrow.
No.
And unfortunately, you come in tomorrow and you go, now we were talking about it. They all look at you like, huh?
Right.
I don't even remember.
Right. Who are you?
You keep coming back here every day, but we don't know who you are.
Right.
So I think
go ahead.
No, you do so.
All right. So I've got it. The question that we started with, what should a homeschool schedule look like? I think I've got a pretty good answer. Flexible accountability.
Yeah, I like that. Yep.
Okay.
At a practical level, I would say to anyone contemplating or involved in homeschooling, just like we said in one of our previous episodes, the end is almost everything.
Mm-hmm.
The way you get there is through a plan. And I tell teachers that are in the traditional classroom, and teachers who are parents trying to educate their children at home. The purpose of a plan is not to become a prison. It's to become the ability to flex.
Uh-huh.
Right? If I've laid out a year's vision, we're going to read these books, et cetera. I'm not going to get all into the curricular side of it, but if I've mapped something out, and it's sort of like the GPS world that we live in nowadays. I'm here and I want to get there, and the little GPS dude gives me three options to get there and tells me the time differences and the mileage differences, and I choose one. And I get going, and at some point I make a wrong turn.
Mm-hmm.
Or I see something cool. I see a sign that says world's largest ball of twine, and I veer off to go see that.
Understandably so.
It means I'm somewhere near my mother's hometown because that has the world's largest ball of twine. Cocker City, Kansas, my friend. Population 200, and they are proud of that ball of twine.
Well,
in fact, they started back up here a while back to make it bigger because somebody in Iowa somewhere was getting a pretty big ball of twine. And they were like, no, you can't have our one. Anyway, if I go off to see Cocker City and then want to get back to where I was headed, what's GPS do? It recalculates.
Right.
But because it knew at the beginning where I was trying to get and it now knows where I've gone. It's just this constant, quote unquote, recalculating.
Right.
And a plan allows for that. Mm-hmm. If you just jump in and we'll just see where this sucker goes. Yes, you will.
Yeah.
And you might be quite happy with a lot of the sites that you see.
Mm-hmm.
But the end result is probably going to be less, or you're going to wind up somewhere you probably hadn't intended to be.
Right.
And so the schedule is just, as you said, a flexible accountability. Sure, the Scarlet Letter could be a whole year, but we had decided about 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are in the eighth week. We've extended it. Now I have to kind of go into negotiations with myself and the student, maybe not as long on the next novel, or
right.
We really ought to bring this puppy in for a landing because we've exceeded the time we had allotted, not because I'm going to be in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I just have an end in mind that the schedule was designed to help me meet.
Right.
And the beauty of, again, I keep saying the beauty of homeschooling. One of the beauties is even the fact that there is no law that says there shalt be, 9.5 months of school in a
right.
year, or as you alluded to earlier, 5 days a week in a school. Mm-hmm. week. Many of my homeschooling friends are on the 13 and 3 year round notion. They
got you. 13 weeks. Take
3 weeks off and then go back at it, and they do that year round, and they're very happy with the fact that September and October are just two more months of study instead of trying to recover all that was lost June, July, and August.
Right,
you know.
Right.
3 months, a long time for the mind to kind of just go off and do its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think at homeschooling, you could do that better than if you're off at a traditional school, because mom and dad can still be teaching you even if you didn't feel
hurling
like they were.
Geometry equations at you over your eggs in the morning, right?
Yeah. Well, there's nothing quite like a summer vacation to revisit
alternate geometric interior angle theorem.
Yeah. geography. Where are we now, children? We don't know. You just yelled that at mom. Oh, well.
Good.
But I would like to end with this thought. Mm-hmm. That at the heart of good education is a timelessness. That whether you're in the – I fight this all the time in the traditional classroom with the 44-minute periods and the bells and everything. Transcending out past what time it is to an to at least moments, mm-hmm. when we're beyond time, mm. is the best part of education. And if you have a setting where there's just never going to be a bell ringing, you probably are in a setting that's more likely to have some of those timeless moments. Mm-hmm. And hey, you know, my child doesn't do well at 8 a.m., but he's knocking home runs at 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. Then schedule accordingly.
Right.
You
know? That's right.
So the flexibility, you ought to be accountable to something, to a clock, to a curricular set of goal, as we said in one of our recent ones, goal setting right. will produce some accountability. If I want to get there, then what do I need to be doing today to get there? Mm-hmm. Is really where I would put the homeschool schedule. You don't justify the legitimacy of your schooling experience with a clock,
right?
And it's funny to me that when we have this, even this notion of 180 school days in a year, you hear that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just rarely aware of a school that actually hits that. I mean, you could count a half day of school as a whole day towards the 180.
Right.
Or, you know, if we miss a couple of snow days, that's fine. And of course, this is an interesting thing in the midst of COVID, you know, I've seen some memes going around implying that the snow day is now gone because we have Zoom.
Yeah, it's
there
true.
Should be some students and some teachers out there. but homeschoolers did that a long time ago. It was snow day. what are you talking about? That's just right. a better teaching day. They can't go outside.
Right. Yet. It's just harder yeah. for them to go collect the chicken eggs this time. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well said. I think your emphasis on those moments of awe or timelessness or wonder are definitely what you, the home educator, ought to have in mind when you are fashioning and looking at the schedule. Well said, Steve.
Let Cool agenda it for us, right?
Yeah.
Or rough and smooth with even step he passed and knows not whether he be first or last. There's a certain element of that blindness of the boy, of the brother, mm-hmm. that I value for my children.
Yes.
Turn that clock face around and let's educate.
Yeah. Well said.